You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. In the last hours, an update in the trial for the man charged in Mom of Five, Rachel Morin's murder. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Rachel Morin, a beautiful mom of five, goes hiking along the Ma and Pa Trail. She's been hiking there since she was a little girl. This day was no different, except this day ends in tragedy. This gorgeous mom, brutally sex assaulted and bludgeoned dead, we believe, with a rock or a tree limb, and left in that condition for other hikers to find. Then, across the country, amazingly, when the case seemingly goes cold, a DNA match to a home intruder that, even though the home is full of people, goes in and sex assaults a young girl. But even with DNA, we can't find the killer. As it turns out, the killer turns out to be, according to police, an illegal immigrant, a migrant, an El Salvadorian man, illegally in our country. In the last hours, over the protests of Rachel's family, the trial is delayed nearly a year. Is justice delayed? Justice denied? The attack on Rachel Morin was unlike any other I've ever seen. Bludgeoning her dead and raping her, leaving her naked body lying out on a public trail.
When I woke up, it felt like it felt like a shadow. It also felt like profound, like sadness, emptiness. Like, I just knew that there was something that, I think it's just mother's intuition. I just knew there was something that wasn't right, that there was something terribly wrong, but I didn't know what it was.
Just over 3 weeks ago, on May 20th, on what should have been Rachel's 38th birthday, and then a poetic coincidence, or perhaps in Rachel's own divine assistance, our investigators uncovered a lead that led us to this day. And on this day, I'm here to tell you, Rachel's murderer is no longer a free man. Hopefully, he will never have the opportunity to walk free again.
You were just hearing Rachel's mother telling me the anguish that she has been through and describing the moment that she learned her daughter, a mother of five, the so-called trail mom, beautiful woman, mother of five, found bludgeoned dead, left naked and bloody on a trail. And then we hear Sheriff of Harford County, Jeff Galler, speaking out, and what an arrest it was. Busted. Who is he? This guy is a non-citizen migrant. Some people would call an illegal alien. A non-citizen migrant on the run from a murder charge in El Salvador. And let me just remind everybody that he is suspected in the rape of a girl in L.A. What was the straw that broke the camel's back for Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez? Listen.
The lead we received was related to DNA evidence and allowed investigators to finally put a name to the image of the suspect in the video from Los Angeles, which we released 2 weeks after Rachel's death. After we had the video, we knew what he looked like. But we didn't know who he was. With the new DNA evidence, now we know who he is, but we still didn't know where he was.
And they tracked him. They tracked this guy all around the world. Because remember, Rachel Morin is found brutally, brutally murdered. And very interestingly, her face totally destroyed, half of her face just beaten in. Of course, I'm just a trial lawyer. I'm not a shrink, but I know that means something psychologically, that this beautiful woman, this mom of five, is brutalized, her face destroyed. We now know this is the same guy, according to DNA evidence, that killed a woman in El Salvador and attacked a young girl in L.A. Oh, this guy was tracked like hounds from hell. Listen.
Over the past 2 weeks, investigators continued their diligent investigation and tracked our suspect all the way from Prince George's County to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our investigators also obtained an arrest warrant yesterday afternoon, and as the arrest warrant was being issued, we met with Rachel's family, many of whom are with us today, to update them on the case and asked of them an almost impossible request, and that was to keep the information about the identity and the arrest warrant to themselves and protected, to allow investigators the opportunity to try to apprehend this suspect before it was made public in the news, so that our suspect did not have the opportunity to learn that he was wanted and to once again flee.
Yeah, he was just living his best life, going about his business. So from what I understand, the sheriff goes to the family, Rachel's mom, tells them, we think we've got him, but you got to keep it a secret. And then out they go to continue tracking this guy. They think they've got a line on him. Who is this guy, this non-citizen migrant with a murder charge out of El Salvador? Listen.
5 hours after meeting with the family, and just before midnight our time, police in Tulsa, Oklahoma, assisted by our federal partners, located and arrested Rachel's murderer, Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez. So far, we have learned that the suspect, now pictured on the screens, is a 23-year-old citizen of El Salvador who illegally crossed the border into the United States in February of 2023.
Okay, why did he leave El Salvador? There's so much to figure out. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. But as we speak, I want to keep our mind and our heart on Rachel Morin. We have been working this case, investigating this case. We knew a lot about this guy, but we just couldn't get our hands on him. Joining me, investigative reporter for CrimeOnline.com, Alexis Terezchuk. This guy, a non-citizen migrant, some say illegal alien, is on the run from El Salvador. Explain.
So, Nancy, this 23-year-old man is here illegally, which the police officer said, from El Salvador. He has been accused of murder in El Salvador. He apparently killed another young woman and then fled his country, came to the United States, and went on a cross-country crime spree.
I want to go straight up to Chris McDonough, director at the Cold Case Foundation now, former homicide detective with over 300 homicide inquiries under his belt. Star of The Interview Room. That's where I found him during the Koberger investigation. Chris McDonough, I actually have chills on my whole body. So, number one, let's just put it out there. He's innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Bam. Now, can we talk reality? This guy has a murder charge of a young woman, don't know her age yet, in El Salvador. I got word from a bounty hunter about the facts surrounding that case, but I don't know for sure yet, so I'll keep that under my hat until I know for sure those facts. A woman dead in El Salvador, chalked up to him. He goes on the run. Then he goes to L.A. and sex assaults a 9-year-old little girl. There he is, Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez. There he goes. Doesn't even bother, and he doesn't run. He walks out, and inside he's left behind a wake of pain that will never, ever be repaired. There's no telling, Chris McDonough, how many other victims this guy has. Okay, your turn. Hit it.
We know for sure now that in El Salvador, he had a case, and that Interpol had a what they call a red notice on him. And what that is it's a worldwide alert, kind of like a BOL for this individual that they had in the system.
Did you say BOL? Are you talking about a BOLO, be on the lookout?
Yes, ma'am. Like a be on the lookout. And what it is, it's not an international arrest warrant. It's basically to notify all countries that participate in Interpol that this is one dangerous dude. And LAPD gets that hit on the DNA. They match your name to it. They get this red notice, and boom, they're off to the races and they're on the hunt for this guy.
You know, Chris McDonough, and everybody on the panel, please jump in. A lot is happening. We're getting information fast and furious. According to detectives, this guy, Hernandez, was waiting, lying in wait there at the Mon Paw Trail near Bel Air, Maryland, waiting for a victim. You know what that tells me? To Karen Stark, renowned psychologist joining us out of Manhattan. You can find her online, KarenStark.com, Karen with a C if you're looking for her. Karen, that tells me, as we discussed when this first happened, this is not his first attack. Now, we know that now because of DNA, but what I'm trying to say is that I think there are going to be other attacks. I would be looking in Tulsa. I would be looking everywhere in between L.A., Bel Air, Maryland, and Tulsa, because a guy, a predator like this non-citizen migrant from El Salvador, a guy that knows how to lie in wait. And remember, we learned, Karen Stark, that at the time Rachel was attacked and murdered and her whole face beaten in, bludgeoned in, there was a lot of foliage. And you would be going down the Mon Paw Trail and then it would turn. And he was knew that and was hiding in the foliage just around the turn, waiting for a woman, any woman probably, to come around that bend. He wasn't worried about robbing them. He was there to rape and kill.
He was, Nancy, and this was very carefully planned. If you think about it, he left El Salvador and could have just started again. And maybe he wouldn't have been caught, but he can't stop. He gets pleasure, a derived pleasure from doing this. It was planned, although he's pretty indiscriminate, because he does a child, her mother, this person in El Salvador who's a young woman, and then Rachel. So all ages, and he doesn't care as long as he's able to rape and kill. And it's very fortunate that the 9-year-old to the family came and he wasn't able to kill her. I have no doubt he would have, because that's where he gets his pleasure. And by the way, smash the face in, because he doesn't want her to see him symbolically.
A non-citizen migrant who has just been busted in the murder and rape of a gorgeous young mother of five, Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez, a non-citizen migrant running from a murder charge in El Salvador. How the hey did he get here? And why is he here? He has gone unapprehended after attacking a 9-year-old girl and her mother in L.A., but guess what? He left a hat behind, and in that hat was a hair. That hair's mitochondrial DNA matches up to DNA taken from the Rachel Morin rape and murder scene. A huge breakthrough. Huge breakthrough in the murder of a Maryland mom, Rachel Morin, as cops finally arrest an illegal migrant seen in eerie doorbell camera footage 10 months after Rachel's body was found naked and beaten on a remote hiking trail. At the time, we analyzed the evidence and we believed he had attacked and even killed before. We were right. Listen.
We all suspected that perhaps Rachel was not his first victim. And it's my understanding that this suspect, this monster, fled to the United States illegally after committing the brutal murder of a young woman in El Salvador a month early in January of 2023. Once in our country and likely emboldened by his anonymity, he brutally attacked a 9-year-old girl and her mother during a home invasion in March of 2023 in Los Angeles. Victor Hernandez did not come here to make a better life for himself or for his family. He came here to escape the crime he committed in El Salvador. He came here and murdered Rachel, and God willing, no one else. But that should have never been allowed to happen.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
In the last hours, we learn a judge grants the request of an El Salvadorian migrant now charged in two sex attacks across the country and one brutal murder, granting the request to delay the trial now nearly a year. As it was announced in court, Rachel's mother, Patty, began to cry after she saw Victor Martinez Hernandez enter the courtroom, seeing the man accused of raping and murdering her beautiful girl. But there's so much more to this story. Ms. Morin, how did you learn that Rachel's killer had been caught? Because this was a manhunt like no other, crossing borders all the way to El Salvador.
Actually, the sheriff department reached out to our family and had set up a meeting in their office to let us know that they had identified the suspect and that they were in the process of trying to locate him. So at the time, we weren't allowed to say anything. They showed us a picture of him, and then we were expecting that it would still take some time. But miraculously, within hours after they informed us, they were able to locate him and apprehend him.
Looking at this guy, he looks like somebody you might pass on the way to the subway or at the grocery store. Little did everyone know, this guy with the big smile laid in wait to catch Rachel, mother of five, as she walked around the bend of the Ma and Pa Trail there near Bel Air, Maryland. As you can see, the bend in the trail gives him perfect cover. He's like a hyena waiting at the water pool, waiting for the beautiful gazelle to come by and then pounce, just waiting. Rachel had no idea what would befall her that day. Tracking this guy, Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez, was no easy thing. Listen.
If he's come onto the radar through HIDTA, that means they may have already had pre-incident contact with this guy on other types of crimes, i.e. narcotics investigations or something to that effect. The fact that the sheriff mentioned them the other day as a partner who assisted in this case, that threw me a red flag that, okay, this guy had been in this country, and now that big question is, what was he doing? Was he running dope? You know, was he working for somebody? And maybe this is what gave him the availability to travel around the United States and how he ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Joining me, in addition to Rachel's mother, Patty, is renowned psychoanalyst Dr. Bethany Marshall, joining us from L.A. Dr. Bethany, I've tried so many cases where the victim was involved in wrongdoing. I've tried a lot of drug cases that turned into homicide cases. But there are those singular cases. There are those cases that strike me where it's such a dichotomy of good versus evil. You have Rachel Morin, young, beautiful, happy, a fantastic mother. And you know how I feel, Bethany? There is no greater compliment to me than someone saying, you know what, you're really a good mom. She devoted herself to five children. You got her and you got this guy just trucking along, Martinez Hernandez, already killed one person in El Salvador, sneaks over here, somewhere in the timeline, he sex assaults a 9-year-old little girl. And I'm telling you, Bethany, Dr. Bethany, there are more victims, be they in Virginia, in California, in Tulsa, where he was apprehended. I'm not sure, but I do know this. These are not his only victims. The dichotomy I'm talking about, you've got Rachel Morin, just beautiful, just beloved by her family, her mother, who is with us today, and you got this guy. And it makes me wonder this age-old question, why do our very best people fall victim to people like Hernandez?
Yes, good and evil. It's right there. And what I really am struck by in this case is that this perpetrator is what I would call polyperverse. And so this makes this guy very, very dangerous. And the other thing, Nancy, that strikes me is the enormous amount of energy that goes into these crimes. This guy is not just, you know, in one town or one village and, you know, just sneaking out at night and killing or raping somebody. This guy is traveling all over the world. So if he hadn't been caught, we could have had a total killing spree.
Well, I don't know what you mean by could have had a total killing spree. I've got a victim in El Salvador dead. Rachel Morin is dead. A 9-year-old girl has been raped. And I guarantee you there are more dead bodies in his wake. The reason this guy has been caught before he could kill again is because of Rachel Morin and the publicity and the intent, the iron will her mother had to see this thing through. I don't know how many more victims there would be. So I do know who and what Rachel Morin is. She is the lady that moms want their girls to grow up and be. That's who Rachel Morin is. Who is this guy? Listen.
5 hours after meeting with the family, and just before midnight our time, police in Tulsa, Oklahoma, assisted by our federal partners, located and arrested Rachel's murderer, Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez. So far, we have learned that the suspect is a 23-year-old citizen of El Salvador who illegally crossed the border into the United States in February of 2023.
Ms. Morin, could you tell our listeners who is Rachel against the backdrop of who is this guy, Hernandez?
Well, Rachel, from birth on, has been this little spark, like a little fireball. I remember her being like 14, 15 months old, and she's very petite, fair skin, bright orange hair. And she just loved life. She loved learning new things. Everything excited her. The excitement was in learning, but also she was very sensitive. She cared about people. She cared about people's feelings. She was very compassionate. She grew up to be just a wonderful woman. Balanced. I loved her because she has a strong sense of herself, and she didn't have a problem disagreeing with mom because mom's a little older and more traditional than she was. But that's what made her who she was. She knew who she was. She loved her children. She devoted herself to her children. She was a hard worker.
Ms. Morin, can you tell me about Rachel's children and how they have been responding to mommy being gone?
Yes. In the beginning, they lived in denial. They couldn't understand why she was gone. They couldn't understand why she couldn't come back. She has an autistic daughter who's high on the spectrum. And her daughter just kept saying, "I just want my friend back." And she couldn't understand that she couldn't come back to her. I know that they've been getting counseling and help in processing this, but I think that it's going to be a long time because they're still so young And so at different points in their growth and in their maturity, they're going to come back to this and kind of reprocess it. So I think this is going to be a long-term thing for her children.
Patty, how old is her youngest?
8 years old.
There are five of them. Have they been kept together or did they have to be separated?
There's five. They're all separated. Her oldest daughter has been living with her fiancé for the past 2 years or so, and they're actually expecting their first baby. So Rachel's missing the birth of her first granddaughter. Then two of her children, the next two in age, are with their father, which is about an hour away from the rest of the family. And then the youngest live in the area. So they live with their fathers in separate places, but they do try to come together a couple of times a month to hang out for a weekend and to be with each other. But it's very, very disheartening to have such a broken up family.
You know, until I had the twins, I would hear people talk about the best thing that ever happened to them was having a grandchild and being there, and the significance of being there when the grandchild came. The thought that I wouldn't be there to help my daughter when she has a baby or to help my son, it's devastating. The most important thing that happens to them in their life, and she's not going to be there. And that child is not going to have her. And when I think about this woman, when I think about Rachel Moore, and I was first, when I heard about her murder, I was just struck by her incredible physical beauty. But the more I learn about her, she was completely devoted to those children. And who is he? Listen.
Victor Hernandez did not come here to make a better life for himself or for his family. He came here to escape the crime he committed in El Salvador. He came here and murdered Rachel, and God willing, no one else. But that should have never been allowed to happen.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
An emotional day in a court of law when the man accused in the murder of mom of five, Rachel Morin, appears. Rachel's mother breaks down in tears, and shortly thereafter, it's announced the trial for murder will be delayed nearly a year. Is justice delayed, justice denied for Rachel's family? Patty Morin, along with her lawyer, also joining us, Randolph Rice, who is the family lawyer, I might add. Vincent Hill joining me in addition to Dr. Bethany Marshall. Vincent Hill, investigative reporter, Fox 45 in Baltimore, and former police officer and private eye. He's the author of Playbook to a Murder. Vincent, thank you for joining us. I want to try and explain, but you're very familiar with the path, how this guy, a predator, already murdered one woman back in El Salvador, already attacked a mother and a 9-year-old little girl, how he is waiting along this trail. And this is not a trail where nobody can say, you know, Vincent, how people love to say, oh, I would never have gone walking on that trail by myself. Or everybody fills in the blank right there. It drives me crazy, so they can differentiate themselves from a violent crime victim, because it makes you feel safe. That's not going to happen to you. But this trail, Ma and Pa Trail, it's a family trail. Families are on it all the time. If you look past those trees, there's an apartment complex, and people access it all the time. And I just want to point out, there is no way to insinuate that Rachel Morin in any way was acting negligently or recklessly. I want to dispel that myth because I've heard it. It's not true.
Yeah, that's right, Nancy. I mean, if Rachel had any inkling that something would have been amiss on that trail, given her size, given the fact that she was alone, she wouldn't have been there. But on that particular day, I'm sure there were hundreds of people out because the weather was nice. This guy was lying in wait. He had been to that trail. He had maybe even seen Rachel before, because we know that he had been in Maryland for quite some time before he did what he did. So Rachel was just going about her day, and unfortunately, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and she came across Victor Martinez, which ended her life.
You know, Vincent, I want to address something that you just said. Of course, everything you said, as usual, is accurate. But you said, and I think it's because Rachel's mother is with us, you said he, and you paused, did what he did. I've had to look juries in the face, little old ladies sitting on the jury, and tell them what happened. Rachel's mother knows what happened. You think I want to hurt her? We have to be blunt. What he did what he did, you said after a long pause. He stalked her. He saw her. He bludgeoned her. He beat in her face and he raped her and he left her on that trail naked. He stole this mother from her children in the most brutal fashion, like an animal. That is what he did. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. There's no way to airbrush it or massage it into something else. And because of Rachel, we know who he is, and he is behind bars. This is what happened. Listen.
There was a bend in the trail that most likely was used by the individual who attacked Rachel in the trail, pulled her through the wooded area into this drainage culvert where she ultimately lost her life.
DNA evidence was collected by our forensic services unit. That DNA was analyzed by the Maryland State Police, and it was ran through the National CODIS system. This DNA evidence has come back as a match, tied to a home invasion and insult and an assault of a young girl in Los Angeles this past March. Unfortunately, that suspect has not been positively identified, but he did leave behind his DNA.
That was then. This is now. We got him due to an extensive manhunt and incredible work by lab scientists in genetic genealogy, cutting-edge DNA. We have Hernandez. I want to go to our special guest, Patty Morin. This is Rachel's mother. Miss Morin.
Yes.
I'm so sorry what you've lived through, but I know you're going to be front and center when this goes to trial. How many times have you let yourself live through what Rachel experienced?
It's an everyday thing. Sad to say it. Part of grieving is you have to face the facts and you have to process them. And until they apprehended the suspect, it was easy to kind of live in denial a little bit. But now that they have a suspect, it makes all the facts true. And you have to face the truth and accept it. And so you have to rethink what you've been told and process those thoughts and put a timeline to it. And it's so painful and grieving to think what my daughter experienced and that there was no one there to help her. You know, as moms, we want to protect our children, and to have something so unexpected happen, and for us just not to be there, not able to help. It's been it's been very hard. It's my plan to be there because I wasn't there to protect her or to help her, but I want to be there after the fact, I guess, to make sure that absolutely everything is done for her and that nothing is left undone. Sorry.
Randolph, I'm so glad you're there with Ms. Morin. I'm just so glad you're there. Randolph Rice, high-profile lawyer that's working with the Morin family. Just let me go to Chris McDonough. He is the director of the Cold Case Foundation. He has been working on this case and investigating on his own, as we all have been. Former homicide detective with no less than 300 homicide investigations under his belt. I found him on YouTube on the interview room during the Koberger investigation and was struck by his knowledge, his intimate familiarity with not only that case, but the workings of a courtroom. And Chris McDonough, I don't know if you ever let yourself think about the suffering of the victims that you and I have represented our whole careers, if you can call what we do a career. But Chris, I'm listening to Ms. Morin, and I have never been quite as brave as she is being today, because when I think about my fiance's murder, what happened in those moments that he was killed, I stop myself, because to this day, it gives me an intense headache, a horrible headache, when I start reliving what I think happened. Crime victims never get away from it. And I can't, now that I've got children, I can't imagine what a parent goes through. You heard Rachel, you heard Rachel's mom describing, you can't be there for your child, your baby. You can't help them. It's excruciating. How do you separate yourself from that, Chris?
You know, I lost a child in 2003, and I don't think anybody quite understands, like Nancy's explaining about the death of her fiance, what depth of pain you can get to. But here's the other good news. You can get through it, and you can empower yourself that her life makes a difference to perhaps somebody else's family, that this never happens again to anybody else that they have to experience what you're experiencing. So it does, you will be able to get through it. And, you know, I know that Nancy's given you an amazing platform here to tell the nation, you know, how you're going to do that. And I commend you for saying what you've said, even this morning.
I will personally be leading the prosecution of this case. While the defendant is innocent until and unless he is proven guilty, Harford County and our neighboring communities can rest assured that my office will take all steps necessary to ensure that justice is served for Rachel Morin and her family.
Thank heaven there is a prosecutor with some backbone that will go after this case. But the case isn't done. The case is still being built. Listen.
We're still looking for information. He was in this area for at least some period of time. And when I say the area, he was in the Bel Air area for some period of time before or right after the homicide, or both. So if people still have information, and now that there's a name to put with the face, investigators still want to talk to you. We still want to know. We still want to build that timeline, because there is a case to prosecute, and we want to put all the pieces together so that Ms. Healy can do her job most successfully. And again, ensure this guy never sees the light of day.
And in that vein, since the case is still being built, here's the tip line, toll free, 888-540-8477. Repeat, 888-540-8477. This case has got to be fleshed out. There's got to be more than DNA to present to a jury. Eyewitnesses, someone that knew him before, leading up to the murder of this mother of five. Where did he go when he left that trail? What did he do with his clothing? Where did he wash his clothes? Where was he living? These and other facts are very, very important. Did he have scratches to his face, his neck, his arms? What can we find out? We've all seen cases that are strictly DNA cases that have been eviscerated by a good defense attorney. That cannot happen in this case. That cannot happen in this case. I want to go to a special guest joining us. In addition to Rachel's mother, it's Randolph Rice, high-profile lawyer who is helping the Morin family through this. Randolph, thank you for being with us. It's the fingerprint nature of the crimes, the similarities. In both cases, he lie in wait for the right moment. In both cases, he attacked a female. In both cases, he's wearing the same thing. In both cases, there was physical brutality. In both cases, he makes off casually. He walked out of that house like he owned it. And I guarantee you he did the same thing in Rachel's murder. The similarities of these cases, and there's going to be more. I just wonder if the case in El Salvador is as similar, and that can be brought in at trial as a similar transaction. I mean, if we're going to go Randolph Rice, let's go all the way.
That's right. No, you're right. And it's, you know, when I, as a former prosecutor and back in the day when I had a little less gray hair, I remember prepping for these types of cases. And you're right. You have got to put together a timeline of where he was leading up to this and where he was after, because there could be patterns, there could be similarities.
Bombshell in the case of an El Salvadorian man charged in the murder of mom of five, Rachel Morin. A delay. A delay has been announced in a court of law. Why? This case is one of the most brutal attacks I've ever seen. I'm just wondering how you're getting through each day. How do you put your head on the pillow? How do you make yourself fall asleep? When you wake up in the morning, what makes you get out of bed?
Actually, I haven't really slept at all in the last 10 months. Because you think about Rachel's life, you think about all the details before she was murdered, and you think, is there any little detail that I missed that could help in some way? And so up until the suspect was apprehended, that's the way my days were, like literally day and night. Is there anything that I missed in her life that could have been helpful in finding the suspect? And now that they have apprehended him, there is now a sense of relief where before, to be honest, I was afraid to go to sleep at night. Not that I look like my daughter anyway, but I was just, as a woman, I just felt afraid. And I know our community did as well, especially the women. And so we feel the sigh of relief, but now it's still feeling exhausted and thinking, what more can I do to help my daughter on this side of the investigation? Is there anything that law enforcement might need from me that would be of help? But I think the most important thing is just letting people know that if you've seen this person, have had any interaction with him in any way over the past year, to contact our local law enforcement, the sheriff department, so that they can put those last couple of puzzle pieces together to make this a very solid and concise case. I'm sure that it's very well put together now. I just don't want anything left undone. I hope that answers your question.
It does. It does. Chris McDonough joining me, veteran law enforcement. I'm thinking about what Patty, Rachel Morin's mom, is just saying. I know there are going to be other crimes to connect him to, but I want to focus right now on the prosecution in the Rachel Morin murder. And we need to fill in all of the blanks leading up to and after the time of Rachel's murder and attack. The best way, of course, is DNA. And his DNA has already been entered into the National DNA Databank. But there is also the fingerprint databank, where he may not have left DNA, or the DNA may not have been preserved. There's a possibility of a fingerprint match, or for instance, a burglary that turned into an aggravated assault or rape, a fingerprint on a car, a fingerprint anywhere that I can connect him to a crime, and also a digital fingerprint. Okay, this guy is, as we say now, a migrant. That's what we're saying. Nobody is saying illegal alien, apparently. So we're not going to track him through his credit card or his social security number. That's not happening. But I guarantee you this. I guarantee you he had a top of the line iPhone or Android. Okay? This guy is involved with a gang. He is in a gang. Notorious for crime. I'm sure you prosecuted gang cases. I did. They're like a pack of animals. Human life means nothing to them. And I guarantee you, he was tricked out with the best phone to keep in touch with his gang buddies. All right? That's a way to trace him, where he has been, what he has been doing. Yes, no.
You are 100% right, Nancy, that if this guy, we have some good information here. Number one, that he committed this ferocious crime in El Salvador. And then at some point, he must have crossed, you know, into this country. The question is how many times, and did they ever have contact with him? And if so, how does he make it to L.A.? And that gang connection that you're talking about is probably the most logical connection to this thing, because that neighborhood where that first attack occurred is in the 77th Division of LAPD. That is one rough neighborhood, let me tell you. Okay, I've been there. And we've served many search warrants there. And so how does he blend into that circumstance? And that gang affiliation is probably the most likely that would make him a chameleon within that environment, and why he was hidden for as long as he has while on the run.
When you walk through the park and you see a little squirrel or a rabbit run across your path, is your instinct to pounce upon it, grab it, and bite its throat out? No, your instinct may be to pet it or try to throw it a treat. This guy is not like you. This guy's instinct is to attack. He's crossed the border three times that I know of in 2 months. He's been from Tulsa to L.A. to Bel Air, Maryland, and everywhere in between. You want to tell me he could fight his impulse to attack? No way. Joining me is a very special guest. Patty Morin is with us, Rachel's mother. Ms. Morin, you are speaking to thousands and thousands of parents who are suffering. And I want you, as best as you can, to explain what you do when you feel overwhelmed by the loss of your girl.
Honestly, I cry. I cry and I pray. I know that different people have different religious affiliations, but I believe in the Lord. And I believe that God has a plan and a purpose, even if we don't understand it. And I believe that God is good and that he loves me. And so when things are very hard, I go to the rock. He's my solace. And I just pray and pour my heart out to him. And he comforts me. But then I also have a close group of friends that have been such a support these last few months, praying for our family, giving encouraging words. Mr. Rice, What an awesome man he is. He is so good and so kind and so generous. Just really very good, supportive people. And so I would encourage anyone that's feeling pain from a loss to get counseling, to have a support group, a group of friends, maybe grief share, and just to keep your friends close. And don't be afraid to feel your feelings and to process them, because you don't want to be stuck. And it's healthy, even though it's very, very painful. It's healthy to process them. And I want to make sure that I'm healthy for my family. So I'm willing to feel the pain now so that I'm not stuck and not moving forward for my grandchildren.
We wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.